Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, How to Do Boring, Tedious, Difficult, but Necessary Things, by Peter Hollins. Focuses on a universal gap between knowing what to do and actually doing it, especially when the task feels dull, uncomfortable, or thankless. Positioned within the Live a Disciplined Life series, the book centers on the skill of follow-through and the mental mechanics that make avoidance so tempting. Hollins is known for practical, habit-oriented guidance, and this title continues that approach by treating discipline as a trainable system rather than a personality trait. Instead of chasing constant motivation, it emphasizes building reliable processes that work on low-energy days, when procrastination is most likely. The book speaks to everyday responsibilities, such as paperwork, studying, training, cleaning, difficult conversations, and repetitive work that compounds over time. Its core promise is straightforward. You can learn to start and finish necessary tasks even when you dislike them by using clear structure, environmental design, and psychological strategies that reduce friction and increase commitment. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, why the mind resists necessary tasks. A central theme is understanding avoidance as a predictable response, not a character flaw. Boring or difficult tasks often lack immediate reward, provide unclear feedback, and create discomfort, so the brain searches for quick relief through distraction. The book frames procrastination as emotion management. You are not delaying the work as much as you are trying to escape the feelings that come with it, such as anxiety, frustration, or inadequacy. By naming the real barrier, you can choose a targeted solution instead of relying on willpower alone. Another key idea is that motivation is unreliable because it depends on mood and context. Necessary tasks rarely generate their own excitement, so waiting to feel ready can become a permanent delay. The book therefore encourages shifting from outcome-based thinking to process-based thinking, where the goal is simply to start and continue for a planned interval. It also highlights how perfectionism and vague standards increase resistance because the task feels endless or impossible to finish. Clarity, smaller definitions of done, and self-compassion reduce the emotional cost of beginning. Understanding these dynamics creates a practical advantage. You can design strategies that directly counter the brain's tendency to choose the comfortable now over the meaningful later. Secondly, lowering the activation energy to get started, the book emphasizes that the hardest part is often the first 2 minutes, so success depends on making the start effortless. One approach is reducing activation energy by preparing the environment in advance, materials laid out, distractions removed, and the next action made obvious. When the only visible option is the task, the decision burden decreases. Another tactic is micro-commitments, where you commit to a tiny entry point such as opening the document, writing one sentence, or setting a timer. These small actions bypass inner negotiation and create momentum through progress cues. The book also promotes breaking work into the smallest workable steps. Not just smaller tasks, but clearer actions. Instead of clean the house, the first step becomes empty the sink or put laundry in the machine. This precision helps because the brain resists ambiguity and tends to overestimate effort when the steps are unclear. It also encourages pairing starts with cues and routines so initiation becomes automatic, like beginning work after making coffee or after a short walk. By focusing on friction reduction rather than self-criticism, the reader learns to create a system where starting is the default, even when the task is tedious or disliked. Thirdly, sustaining effort with structure and time boundaries. Once started, the next challenge is staying engaged long enough to produce meaningful progress. The book highlights the value of time boundaries because open-ended tasks feel like a trap and trigger avoidance. Working in defined blocks, whether short sprints or longer sessions, provides a finish line the brain can tolerate. A timer also turns effort into a game of endurance rather than a vague demand to be productive. Within these blocks, the book suggests simplifying the rules, single tasking, clear priorities, and a pre-decided plan for what counts as success in that session. This reduces decision fatigue and prevents the common trap of jumping between small distractions that feel productive but avoid the hard part. Another idea is managing energy instead of forcing intensity at all times. Low energy days still count if the process remains intact, so the reader is encouraged to keep minimum standards that protect consistency. The book also acknowledges boredom as a skill issue. You can train yourself to tolerate monotony through gradual exposure and by attaching meaning to the task's purpose. Over time, structure replaces drama, and finishing becomes more routine. The result is a practical framework for completing work that is necessary, repetitive, or emotionally uncomfortable without relying on peak motivation. Fourthly, using accountability, consequences, and commitment devices, another important topic is building external supports that make follow-through more likely. The book discusses accountability as a force multiplier because it changes the cost of quitting, Telling another person your plan, reporting progress, or working alongside someone else increases commitment through social expectations. Commitment devices go a step further by adding a consequence or constraint that limits your ability to back out. Examples include scheduling non-refundable sessions, setting public deadlines, or using tools that block distracting websites during work periods. The concept is not punishment for its own sake, but creating a protective structure for future you who may be tempted to choose comfort over responsibility. The book also explores rewards and reinforcement, especially for boring tasks that provide little natural satisfaction. A small reward after completion or pairing the task with something pleasant can help build positive associations. Over time, the real reward becomes identity-based. You become someone who does what they said they would do. The key is designing accountability that feels supportive rather than shaming. When external structure is aligned with your values and realistic capacity, it reduces internal conflict and increases the probability that you will complete difficult or tedious responsibilities consistently. Lastly, reframing identity and building a disciplined life. Beyond tactics, the book pushes toward a deeper reframing. Discipline is not a mood, but an identity and a set of repeatable behaviors. The reader is encouraged to stop negotiating with every task and instead decide in advance what kind of person they want to be. This identity-based approach reduces daily decision-making because actions become expressions of a standard rather than debates about preference. The book also addresses common mental traps that sabotage follow-through, such as all-or-nothing thinking, self-labeling, and using temporary failure as proof of permanent incapacity. By treating mistakes as data, the reader can adjust systems rather than abandon goals. Another emphasis is consistency over intensity. Doing a small amount daily often beats occasional bursts of effort because it builds trust in yourself and keeps projects from becoming emergencies. The book ties this to long-term outcomes. Health, finances, relationships, and career progress are mostly shaped by unglamorous repetition. By learning to handle the boring middle, you unlock compounding results that others miss. Ultimately, the book positions discipline as freedom, the ability to act according to priorities, not impulses. This mindset shift helps readers endure discomfort, complete necessary tasks, and create a life that runs on intention instead of avoidance. In conclusion, this book is best for readers who repeatedly procrastinate on routine responsibilities, students and professionals facing long projects, and anyone trying to maintain habits like exercise, studying, budgeting, or decluttering when enthusiasm is low. It can also help people who feel stuck in cycles of avoidance and self-criticism, because it reframes follow-through as a skill set that can be trained with systems, not a moral verdict. The benefit to daily life is practical and cumulative. Fewer last-minute crises, less mental clutter from unfinished tasks, and a stronger sense of self-trust. When you can start and finish what matters, even when it is tedious, you gain time, reduce stress, and make progress toward goals that require consistency. Compared with similar discipline and productivity books that lean heavily on inspiration, this one is appealing for its emphasis on doing the unglamorous work and on designing environments, routines, and commitment structures that function regardless of mood. It focuses on the exact moments where most people fail, the start, the boredom, and the urge to quit, and offers a straightforward framework to push through. For readers who want actionable strategies rather than hype, it is a worthwhile purchase. If you would like to support Peter Hollins, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.